Excellent song choice there, especially in light of the Sunday school message that Brother Pierre gave, talking about the good news and the gospel, and of course about how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by him, of course. And so, Brother Jimmy, if you wouldn't mind coming and sharing your testimony and sharing your heart for your ministry, we appreciate it.
Once again, thank you for this opportunity to share my heart with you. Tonight, I'm going to share my testimony with you, how I came to the Lord and my calling to the ministry. And then I will give you the opportunity to ask some questions if you have some. And then a short challenge of the Word of God. I've been living in the United States for 11 years. I went to part of college here and then seminary. And I studied American history. And when you study American history, there is a fact that you cannot deny, which is the presence of God, the presence of the Bible in American history. From the beginning of it, God's word was there. The presence of God, of Christ, was there. And because of that big beginning, many people of this nation understood the necessity of sharing the gospel. As a result of that, many people of this country left the United States to go to another country to share the gospel. Some went to Haiti, to China, many places. But all this happened because of your foundation, your beginning. God was present. God was there. The gospel was present. On the other hand, when you turn to your left, you see Haiti with a different beginning and a different result. Haiti, as I said this morning, was a French colony. It was colonized by the French people, and the French people were very brutal to the Haitian people, and I don't need to repeat exactly what I said this morning, but it's very brutal. That was the life. And the Haitians were fighting for their freedom. Of course, if you oppress someone, either that person is condemned to stay in that condition, or it will revolt against you. So this is exactly what the Haitian people did. They revolt against the French people. And in 1804, they were independent. But before that independence, I explained this morning, they had a voodoo ceremony. In that voodoo ceremony, they killed a pig, and they shared the blood with one another. They drank it, then call upon the gods. They invoked the God to save them from the French people. The fact that they were fighting, they get the freedom. But they believed the freedom came from that voodoo ceremony, from the gods, the devil, the demons. And ever since, they've been worshiping the devil. And that's the result. Voodoo is popular in Haiti. Voodoo is not a doll, just like some American would say. Voodoo is the devil in action. We see demon possessed in the Word of God, in the Bible. We see demonic activities. We see all this thing in Haiti. But all this happened because of the beginning. See, two different beginnings. The beginning was not on God. Was not on the Word of God. And all generation would practice the same thing. And one parent would pass to his children, or one generation to another generation. People would do the same thing. They would sacrifice all kind of animals, cow, goat, all kind of animals, pig. They sacrificed them to the devil. That was the life. And my former grandparents used to do the same thing. Because this is what they knew, it's exactly what was passed on to them. But praise the Lord for sending an American missionary to Haiti to share the gospel of God. When my grandparents heard the gospel, he believed and he called upon the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. Not only my grandparents got saved, my grandma as well, my parents grew up in a Christian home. They knew nothing about voodoo, witchcraft, demonic. They know nothing about. And my mother got saved when she was 12 years old. And therefore, I grew up in a Christian home. So before the foundation of the world, God has orchestrated everything to unfold like that. To send a missionary to Haiti to share the gospel. My grandparents heard the gospel. My father heard the gospel. And my father shared the gospel with the family. What a blessing it is. I could have been a voodoo priest, a witchcraft doctor, or I could have done all kind of voodoo stuff. I went to school with witchcraft doctor kids, priest, voodoo priest. I went to school with them, especially in high school. I could have been one of them. Praise the Lord, I am saved. All this happened because of that missionary. So how did I come to the Lord? And I will explain to you. My father was a deacon. He was a fervent deacon. He used to share the word of God with the family almost every night, every morning before he leaves the house. He would wake everybody up to pray. And I was a kid. I didn't like it. I wanted to sleep. They'd wake me up. But he waked everybody. He used to wake everybody up to pray before he left the house. That was the life. And he used to do Bible study. And one night, he was talking about heaven and hell. And he described heaven and hell. And it was clear to me. I was 8 years old. It was clear to me. And he said, if we die right now without Christ, though you are children of a deacon, of a Christian, you will still go to hell because you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, without Christ, you cannot avoid hell. It was frightening to me at the time because your parents talking to you as if you're sitting on his lap talking to you, talking at the time, and he's serious about it. And that moment, I realized that I've been going to church, but I never made a confession of faith to Christ. And I said, that moment, if I die, I will end up in hell. And that moment, I say, Lord, I am a sinner. I want you to come into my heart to save me. I talk to the Lord, and I ask him to come into my heart. And just to make sure that I was saved, I was a kid anyway, I asked my dad to pray with me. Of course, his prayer didn't save me. But you know, when you are under a parent's umbrella, you want them to get involved. And I asked my dad to pray with me, and he did pray. Had more confidence that I was saved. But of course, his prayer didn't save me. So my father, every morning, used to pray with the family almost every night. He used to share the word of God. So he understood that it was important as a parent to take care of his children, to wake early in the morning, to work hard, to send us to school, because most schooling in Haiti, are private. You have to pay. It's not just like the United States, everything is so free. Haiti, you have to pay. We have public schools, but a few for a lot of people. So he sent us to a private school, and then for high school, we went to a public school. But he understood it was important for him to take care of us, to send us to school, and to help us have a better life. But he understood that the most important thing in life was not really the education, the best life he would give us. The most important thing was Christ, was the gospel. And that is why he spent so much time every morning to pray, to share the word all night, because he wanted to repeat the word of God in our mind so that we know it. And that was the best thing he could have done in his parenting. Seriously. Because he shared the most important thing in life, the gospel. And we are saved. Five of us, we are saved. There is one of them, we're still praying for him. He says that he's saved. But there is a discrepancy between his life and the God standard of life. And we're still praying for him. That if he's not really saved, the Lord would save him, because we cannot save anyone. But I am so grateful for my parents for sharing their gospel with us early in our lives. And when I was growing up, I was involved in, I get baptized, and I was involved in my church ministry. I was involved in youth choir and youth ministry. Also, I was a Sunday school teacher after 3 months of training in basic Bible doctrines. And then I was involved in street witnessing. That was my main ministry, going out almost every day to share the gospel, knock at doors and share the gospel with people. And that's where I get my passion, my desire to share the gospel. But when I was serving, I knew the Lord was working in my heart to be in the ministry. He was drawing my attention. But I didn't want to be in the ministry. I had other plan in life. Ministry was not for me. But my classmate in high school used to call me Pastor Jimmy, because I used to share the word of God with them, and I used to read my Bible in class. I wasn't ashamed of my Bible. If my Bible can save me, the word of God, why would I be ashamed of it? So that was my motto. I'm not going to be ashamed of the Bible. I read it, and they called me Pastor Jimmy all the time. And they used to tell me, one day you're going to be either an evangelist or a pastor, something like that. And people from my church used to tell me, Jimmy, don't you see that God is working in your heart toward the ministry? Don't you see that? I knew all this thing. But they keep telling me the same thing all the time. But I didn't want to hear that. Why? Because I didn't want to be in the ministry, because I wanted to do electrical engineering. And that is why in high school I did only science. I did electricity, chemistry, mathematics, trigonometry, exponential. All this is what I did, because I wanted to be an electrical engineer, and I wanted to be good at it. That's what I want to do. And I said, well, I can make money and go everywhere in the world, travel around the world. That was my plan. But there was another reason why I didn't want to be in the ministry. It was because I've seen many pastors who give their heart to the Lord, and they've been serving the Lord faithfully, but they were poor. To me, at the time, to say yes to my calling means that I pledge to be a poor guy for the rest of my life. That was my thing. I said, no way. I don't want to be a poor guy. Why? This guy has been serving the Lord for a long time. He's a poor, not all of them, but some of them. He's a poor guy. Why? I have the opportunity to go to the university, and I was planning to go either to Canada or France. That was my plan. I was trying to get that happen. It would have been more easy. I mean, easier for me to go to France, to Canada, to do that instead of coming here. So I wanted to have a wonderful life, not ministry. But there was no peace in my heart. I used to laugh with people, do all kind of things. But deep down in my heart, I know there was no peace. There was no joy, nothing at all. I was just faking it. That's the way it was. In fact, I started taking some courses in Haiti after high school toward that degree. But the Lord did not allow it to happen. And one Saturday morning, I was in choir practice. I was singing. I was in the choir. I wasn't singing, actually. It was as if the Lord put me in a corner where I had to say yes to Him, to my calling. And I was crying, literally crying. I've been saying, Lord, I don't want to be in the ministry. Please take this away from me. I don't want to be in there. And I was crying, literally crying. And I left the choir. And the choir director came to me and he said, Jimmy, what's going on? You're crying. I said, yeah. And I told him what is happening in my heart. I was opening my heart to Him. And he made two significant statements that marked my life. He said, Jimmy, if God doesn't call you to the ministry, don't go. Because if you go, you might be the most miserable person in the world. And he said, but if God calls you, go. Because ministry is the noblest position in the world. If the Lord wants to serve with you, just go. That moment, I yield to God's will. And the next Sunday, I made a public decision in my church to let them know that God wants me to be in the ministry, and I want to be in the ministry. It was hard for me before I made that decision, but the Lord, the Word of God says, the heart of man is just like a stream of water. The Lord directs it wherever He wishes. So that was not my plan at all. But I don't have control over my full will, my control, no. God is leading me. Sometimes I look back and say, are you serious, Jimmy? You want to do ministry? To see all this path where God took me and to lead me where I am today. Only God could have done that because that was not my initial plan. So that's the way God has worked in my heart, and He opened a door for me to leave Haiti, to move to U.S. Virgin Islands, to finish the college, and I was helping in a Haitian church there. And then I moved to the mainland today. Here, I went to North Carolina, and then I went to Bob Jones for seminary work. And that's where I finished my MDiv and biblical counseling. So that's the way the Lord has been working in my heart. And now I'm planning to go to Haiti unless the Lord changes my path. But that's my plan, to go to Haiti to get involved in church planting ministry and to teach as well, as you saw it this morning, in a small Bible college, to train nationals, to plant more churches. And you saw a lot of things that I would love to do this morning. But the main thing is church planting, because it scares people. Say, all this thing you're going to do, when you saw the video this morning. Well, the main ministry is church planting. If the Lord allows me to do some of them, yes, I would love to, because Haiti is spiritually needy. Any ministerial opportunity you have, you can do a lot of things in Haiti, so it's good to dream big. They always say, dream big to reach the moon. If you can reach the moon, you you fall among the stars. I don't think it's a thought we should carry, but it's good to dream when you understand the necessity of the gospel in the country and what can be done. You can think about a lot of things. So that's my plan, my goal for Haiti. And in Haiti, we have three main enemies of the gospel. The first one is voodoo, witchcraft, the worshiper of the devil. They would go after Christians. They would use witchcraft power or voodoo power, demonic power, to go after Christians. But they say they can't really do anything to Christians. But to those who don't know the Lord, who just go to church, they can attack them. Because you have an example, and it just comes to mind in the Bible. When this guy was trying to cast a demon, and that demon said, "Paul, I know, Peter, I know, who are you?" And he wanted to devour that guy. So, just like some people, they just go to church. They don't know anything, they don't know the Lord, but they go to church. And they say those people, they can attack them, do a lot of things, harm them with voodoo power. They can do that. But there is another enemy of the gospel, which is Catholicism. When we say Catholicism in Haiti, we see syncretism, a little bit of voodoo, witchcraft, and Christianity together. So when someone says, "I'm a Catholic," that person is practicing syncretism. And when you go out to share the gospel with people, they say, "Well, this guy is a Christian and he's practicing voodoo, the same thing that I'm practicing. So why should I be a Christian? Why? Because they believe that this guy, or that Christianity they see in Catholicism, is the real Christianity, and therefore they don't want to associate themselves with that. See, it's an enemy because of syncretism. But I can tell you, the greatest enemy of the gospel, it's not voodoo, it's not Catholicism, it is prosperity gospel in Haiti. This prosperity gospel presents a false Jesus, completely false. They present a Jesus who can give you everything. If you come to him, you will have this, you will have that, you're going to be rich, you're going to have everything you ask. That's the mentality. If you come to Christ, you're going to have money. You're going to have a visa to go to the United States. You're going to have a wife. You're going to have a husband. You got everything. They don't preach Jesus Christ. They don't talk about salvation. They don't talk about repentance. They won't talk about this thing. Just talk about what you can receive when you come to Christ. They want something from those people, because they are twisting the gospel for their own good. Because they, when they twist the gospel, they will ask people to give them, because they are praying for those people. And it's so bad to see it that way. And people are deceived. They would take a Bible passage like this. You remember the widow, say, Zarephta, how do you say? Sarepta, that's the French word of the widow. But you know the widow. She had a little flour and oil, and she was about to die. That's the only thing she had to eat. And the man of God came to her and said, "Bake me first." Now she was about, that's the only thing she had, and she was about to die, and now you'd say, "Bake me first." And she did. What happened as a result of that? The Bible says she never lacked in flour and oil. That was the result of that. You see, they will take that passage. So you see what happened to that lady? That's the only flour she had. But she gave it to the man of God. She never lacked in flour and oil. They take that passage. You say, well, if you are going to pay your rent, you are going to the hospital, any money you have in your pocket now, and just get it and give it to the service of the Lord, to the man of God, and you will be blessed. It's so sad to see it, and some people don't really think. They just swallow everything, and they do exactly what those people tell them. That's prosperity gospel in the country. And can we stop that? No one can stop it. What can you do? Preach the word of God faithfully, rightly, so that people can hear. And because just like false teachers have followers, true teachers will have followers as well. So what can you do? Just preach the word of God faithfully as it is written. But this is the greatest enemy of the gospel in Haiti. It's not voodoo. It's not really Catholicism. But because when you go out, you share the gospel with people. You say, well, are you part of this group too? You? You see, this pastor is stealing people's money. You want him to steal my money? You know, that's the mentality. That's the way it is. The greatest enemy of the gospel in Haiti. And that is why it is important for the gospel to be preached, not only in Haiti. I see this too in America and other places, even in Africa, because I can speak French. I understand them. They are almost the same thing. But what can be done? It's the true preaching of the word of God. Because anyone who preaches will have followers. Whether you have good doctrines or bad doctrines, you will have followers. That's the way it is. And you see it. You see it every day. Either you have good doctrines or bad, you will have followers. So we as Christians, we know the truth. We have to preach the word of God as it is. So, and that's the way it is in Haiti. And now, I'm going to give you the opportunity to ask some questions, but what's going on right now in Haiti with the government is changing the constitution and signing some new decrees that are contrary to social morals, social of Haitian people. They would lower the age for a man to be with a girl to 15. And the whole country say, no, we don't want that. That's not part, even if they are not saved. They don't know the Lord. They say, that's not part of our life. We don't want that. And if anything happened to a girl on 15 years old, it's just okay. And they say, well, now you can have relationship with an animal. There is no punishment. They say the punishment, if someone force you to do it, that's the punishment. Of course, you see, it's going to force you. So many negative things. And they say, if you don't give the service, LGBTQ ask you to do like marriage or other things, you will be penalized up to 5 years as a pastor. So many negative things. And a young girl can be in prostitution at age of 15 and legally. No, people say, no, that's not who we are. Even if we don't know, they don't know the Lord, that's not who we are. That's not Haitian people at all. But this is what this government is trying to do, to change everything. So I would ask that you would pray that they would retract. Is that the right word? From it. So this is our prayer for this nation. And the Christian community in Haiti are praying and protesting against that. And that's the only thing we can do. We are not in power. Well, if you have some question about Haiti, anything that I've said or what you watched in the video this morning, you can ask, and if I can answer, I will. Yes.
How many, it looked like it was a big church, the church you grew. How many people were in?
This church has over 5,000 people. It's a big church. Yeah, a lot of people. And they have three services on Sunday. Not your services, not like your service. 6:30 in the morning, the first service. And then the second one at 9:30. And the last one, Sunday evening. Just one. Yeah. But I left Haiti 10 years ago. It's still going on. Everything is okay. So, yeah. Thank you. If I'm going to work to some other missionaries or church, actually, I will be working with my church back home for a while. I've been away for 11 years. I spent most of my adult years here in the United States. I wasn't a pastor when I was in Haiti. Going back will be a reentry shock for me. So my pastor discouraged me not to start a ministry immediately. I have to stay there and observe and see exactly what's going on. Though it's my country, I lost so many, even my culture. I've been losing a lot of things. Even some words. I know every word, everything, but to get them out, I lose some. As soon as people say them, I know what they mean. But for me to get them out, because I've been there for almost 11 years, so I'm losing a lot of things. I will be working with my church for a while and then see where the Lord might take me in another place in Haiti. Yeah. Yes. Yes, I will be part of that Bible college they have. And that is why they say Jimmy will be teaching. Yeah. I will get involved in that Bible college, the small Bible college, but I will be part of it. And I talk about Christian camp because when I was growing up, I never went to a Christian camp because that wasn't part of our Christian culture. We didn't have it until I moved to the States. I've been counselors for many times. But in Haiti, we didn't have that. That is why I said, well, I would love to do something like that if it is God's will for me to do it. Yes. So I don't know if I answered your questions properly. Yes, there is a day school. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I think there is no more questions. Everything was clear. And I hope everything understood my beautiful English, right? So I speak French and Haitian Creole. That is why my English is so beautiful. So before we leave tonight, I would like to share with you the Word of God. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. So I want to share with you God's priority for his children. God's priority for his children. What is God's priority for you? And we know exactly a priority is the first thing to do. It's the supreme one. When you have a lot of things to do, they are important. All of them are important, but this one is the priority. So what is God's priority for us among all other things that he requires of us? Did you know that you can get involved in many things, many ministries? You're serving the Lord, but you are away from God's priority for your life. What is God's priority for your life? Probably you get involved in Sunday school. You are a Sunday school teacher, or you are a preacher, or you give everything you have to missions. All these things are very important. And God calls us to teach, to preach the word of his word. But are they the God's priority for you? You sing in the choir, you go out to share the gospel. That's very important. But is it God's priority for you? So what is God's priority for your life, for my life, for all Christians, for all his children? God's priority for us is to have an intimacy with him. That's the priority. To be close with him. Did you know that you can get involved in all kinds of ministries and you give everything you have away to do ministry, but your heart is away from the Lord? Did you know that the Jews, the God's people, they used to do sacrifices for the Lord? But did you know what the Lord says? I don't want your sacrifice anymore. But Lord, it was you who asked them to sacrifice for you. And now you say, yes, I don't want your sacrifice anymore. Why? Because your heart is away from me. What God is telling us, what I'm asking from you is a closeness, intimacy. You and I, this is what I want from you. This is God's priority for all children. You can preach, you can teach, you can do everything for him. But if your heart is away from the Lord, you're missing something. And when we read in this passage, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, you can read it. I can read it for you. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. That is so clear. That was not the only thing God asked. Many other things. But this was the center of everything. We shall love the Lord. We'll have an intimacy with him. With all of you, all your thought, your imagination, your intellect, your emotion, feeling, everything must converge to the Lord, to love the Lord with all of you. Of course, we know the Word of God is not talking about the heart as the organ, but metaphoric, the whole you, the real being, what makes you you. Your intellect, your mind, your thinking, everything you are. God wants that. To be close with him. Because everything you do comes from your mind. You're going to act, but your mind is the center of it. You conceive it and you make it, you do it. So God wants you, your intellect. He wants to be in the center of your intellect, the center of your love. That is exactly what God is asking. I'm not going to read all the passages, my main passages in Psalm 119. So you will see many examples of someone who is close, who has intimacy with the Lord. David. Lord, I'm not going to read all the verses. I have them selected. Incline my heart toward your word. Avoid my path away from ungodliness. Our heart who is not close with the Lord will not say this thing. In fact, when you are far from the Lord, you don't want to stay close to him. You don't want to stay in his word. But David is the exact example of someone who has a perfect intimacy with the Lord. And that is your calling, my calling, or this is God's priority for you and I, to be close with him, just like David. How can a young man be pure? Psalm 119, let me go, I know it in French, not in English. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed, therefore, according to thy word? With my whole heart I have sought thee. We can stop right here. With my whole heart. The Lord says, love me with all your heart. It's because David is so close with the Lord. He has intimacy with the Lord. So we can think about our lives and do introspection right now. Am I really close? Am I living in God's priority for my life? I'm not saying, are you involved in all kind of activities? You can get involved in all kind of activities in church. In French, we call them activist, chrétien, Christian activist. You get involved in all kind of activities, Christian activities, and your heart is away from the Lord. So you can see that. You can know. If you're, while you're doing things for the Lord, you're singing, you're leading, you're preaching, you're teaching Sunday school, you know if your heart is close to the Lord. You give a lot of money to mission, a lot of money to do many things. But am I really close to the Lord? Do I have an intimacy with him? When you have an intimacy with the Lord, you would express it in spending quantitative time with him in prayer. You would do that. And David, you see it in Psalms 119 and many other Psalms. But if you read this Psalm, you will see exactly how David is talking with him, spending time with the Lord. Or do we just say, Lord, thank you for this food, thank you for today, and you're done for the whole day? So do we spend time with the Lord? So I can fake you. You can fake me, but we cannot fake the Lord. We know it's clear. Our heart is away from him if we don't spend time with him in prayer and in his word. We know it. I can show in the outside, here, I am the just guy here speaking. I can show that because we are human. We have that capacity. But the word of God says, God knows the inside, the heart. He knows you are not close with him. He knows you're doing all this exhibition, but deep down inside, you are away from me. He knows, and you know too. You know he knows, and he knows you know. You're away from him. So he wants you to have that intimacy with him. You will express it in the Word of God, in praying and in reading His Word. But did you know when you spend time with the Lord and you have that intimacy there, even if you have difficulties in your life, you can have peace. You can have joy. And we see it in the Bible. You can have joy. You can have peace. And did you know when you have that intimacy with the Lord, He's leading you, He's guiding your heart, your mind, you will forgive people? No matter what people do to you, you will forgive. Why? Because you want to be close with the Lord. You will not allow anything to interrupt your fellowship, your communion with Him. You will forgive people. This is exactly what intimacy can do. Bring subjective peace. When you have that intimacy with the Lord will direct your path, your direction, even decision you will make in life. Because you want to please Him. That intimacy. You want to please Him. You want to live for Him. And exactly, this is what He will do for you. He will lead you. I said, do you have that intimacy with Him? As I said from the beginning, what is God's priority for your life? Priority is one of the many things God wants you to do. All of them are important, but there is one of them. He wants you to elevate higher. That intimacy, closeness with Him. I'm not going to elaborate too much. But do you see that in your life? For the last week, months, year, do you see that you're getting closer to Him or you're getting away from Him? Do you spend more time in the Word of God or do you just read the Word of God when you come to church, you see it? And do you spend time in prayer with Him or when you're about to eat, you just say, thank you, Lord, for the food. Thank you for providing for me. And then you're done. I don't think the Lord wants us to be like that with Him. He wants us to spend time with Him. So it's not only your calling, it's my calling. And the whole, all assembly of true believers. All of us. It's not me speaking to you. You have to do it. No, it's everyone. This is us. That's our calling in life, to be close with the Lord. And by not being close to the Lord, we are just faking it. We know we are not living for Him. We know. We cannot lie to anyone. I mean, we can lie to people, but we cannot lie to our conscience, to our God who knows us. So it's my prayer that we would know that God wants us to be close to Him, to have that intimacy, not only for this moment, until we die or Jesus comes back to go with Him. That's our calling. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for redeeming our soul and desiring to have that closeness with us, intimacy with us. You are the Supreme One, the Creator. We are just created being. But You still love us. You still want us. Lord, we are so grateful. Thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name we pray.
Brother Jimmy, thank you very much. We appreciate it so much. I loved how we went from Deuteronomy 6 to Psalm 119. Both passages there mention the use, of course, of your whole heart. Psalm 119:10, as he mentioned, with my whole heart have I sought thee, getting into that intimacy. And then, of course, there in Deuteronomy 6, very specifically verse 5, the first time in the Bible it mentions, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. truly is something we need to remember as we go forth and use that intimacy to serve Christ in the week that we have ahead. I hear you're going down to, or I should say up to Detroit right there. I'm a former Canadian, so when you mentioned you wanted to go to Canada, everything is down to me, and it's always been down to me anytime I talk about traveling anywhere right there. But I enjoy getting to be with Pastor Ramler and, of course, the many other pastors that are there at that Baptist World Missions conference that is there. Let's go ahead and close in word of prayer, and we'll get to our evening as we have it. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we come before and we thank you that you choose to use people such as us, people who truly don't love you with their whole heart, people who truly don't seek you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and yet in your mercy and in your grace, you use us anyways. You save us anyways. And Father, we praise you that when your blood covers our sins, it covers all our sins. It doesn't just cover the sins that we've done, it covers the sins that we're doing and the sins we're going to do as well. And what an amazing God, once again, that you are. Father, I do thank you for Brother Jimmy Pierre. We ask that you would bless him in his ministry. Once again, give grace as he seeks to finish up deputation through however long that happens to be. Father, be with Haiti, a country that you have created, people that you have created and that you love. You are not willing that they should perish, but that they should come to repentance as well and give strength and grace both to his church that is currently there and to him as he continues to work towards getting there to be a shining light to the people that need him. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.